Please stand and join me in the call to worship. Come together expecting great things. Wait for the promises of God. In God's time, the Holy Spirit will come to you. You will be empowered as faithful witnesses. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Sing praises to God. Sing praises.
Seated, and I invite you to join me in the invocation as found in your bulletin. Appear to us again, risen Savior, for we have lost sight of you. We have come to find you here so we may recognize you among all who suffer. We seek wisdom and revelation to cope with the confusion we face every day amid competing claims. We are here to remember the authority with which you spoke, so we may walk amid the rulers of our day, speaking in Christ's name. We who seek to be your body, the church, need the eyes of our hearts enlightened, so we may once more embrace hope and know your joy. Amen. And now I invite you to turn to the insert for infant baptism, the baptism of Wiley Charles Perry. Invite his parents and those who will stand with them to come forward. Church, brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Now I present to you Wiley Charles Perrin for baptism. Now, Allison and Glenn, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression, and whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture Wiley in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Now, church, do you as Christ's body reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include Wiley and his parents now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround Wiley with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his trust of God and be found faithful in his service to others. We will pray for him, that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Now let us all join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
And the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. And after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day.
In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, to make disciples of all nations.
Declare his works to the nations.
his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and he who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness and throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through Jesus Christ, who with you in the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Let's see. Wiley Charles, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ through baptism. He is incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome him as a member of the family in Christ. Members of the household in God, I do commend Wiley Charles to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, and our witness, that in every God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And may the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen.
Our first reading today is the first 11 verses of the Acts of the Apostles. You can find this passage on page 143 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Prior to ascending into heaven, Jesus twice redirects the thinking of his disciples from earthly kingdoms to the new spirit-empowered mission that lies before them, to be witnesses in all the world. Listen now for God's word. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the time or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him up out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Our epistle reading is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. You can find this passage on page 234 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. Paul encourages the churches connected with the congregations at Ephesus to remember the fullness of who they now are because of what God has made them in Jesus Christ, risen, ascended to the right hand of all power, and reigning in, through, and even beyond the church. Listen again for God's word to us. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, which are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and a power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Myra and Joyce. As we approach our pastoral prayer today, I have an announcement. I'm sure it's a thanksgiving for the Drake family that Ann Drake was awarded the Small Business Woman of the Year this past week, and that's quite an achievement. And on the other end of that, we have had, in the past few months, five of our members who have lost their jobs unexpectedly, and I ask that you be in prayer for them, and I hope that we can figure a way that the church can do more than pray and maybe help network and assist them in finding other employment. We have two funeral services today. Hubert Scurry, who moved on to Lexington from having been an active member here at Main Street, his service will be here in the sanctuary at 3:30 today. And Bobby Kahn, a lifelong member of Main Street, his service will be at the Blith Chapel at 2 o'clock. We also need to pray for Rob Roberts, who had some hand surgery and stayed a little longer than he thought because of pain problems. And Jimmy Wade, who had surgery this past week. Hazel Bennett, still suffering with an injury to her shoulder. We've been asked to pray for Lisa Radcliffe, who is in Chicago at a special clinic for headaches, chronic headaches, which she has suffered with for some time. So with these in mind, I want to also call to your attention that it is the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend, and we need to remember those who have died in our nation's service. And regardless of how you might feel about war in general or any particular war, it is right that we pay homage to those who have laid down their lives for our country. And this is the legacy that they have bequeathed us, a free nation. It is a time that we live in that war seems almost endless. Just recently, we sent 17,000 troops more into Afghanistan, and it barely made the news. It's sad when we get used to war. In the words of General William Tecumseh Sherman, he said, "I'm sick and tired of war. Its glory is all moonshine. It is only those who have never fired a shot nor heard the shrieks and groans of the wounded who cry for blood and vengeance and desolation. War," he said famously, "is hell." But the world is made of people with competing interests, and there will always be wars and rumors of war, Scripture tells us. And so nations must always have men and women to meet those other men and women who would do our nation harm or subject us to tyranny. And in conflict, people die. Let us pray for those who have died in conflict serving our nation. Let us pray. Eternal Lord, God of time and eternity, above and beyond all nations and peoples, how shall we speak to you from our smallness, except that you have called us to worship you in spirit and in truth, and you have revealed yourself and your personality in your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we have known you, and we trust you. You have dignified us with loves and loyalties. You have lifted us up with your loving kindness. And therefore, we are bold to come before you in prayer. And without fear, we sing with spirit and pray with courage. Because you have dignified us. You have redeemed us from aimlessness of things. Lord, lift the hearts of those for whom this holiday is not just a diversion, but a painful memory of continuing loss. And bless those whose dear ones have died in service and those who serve now in harm's way. We remember with compassion those who have died, and we pray for your comfort for those who pray for their loved ones now in danger, serving in other countries and far away. Blessed are those who mourn, your word says, for they shall be comforted. We pray for your comfort. We pray for those now serving as well. Lord, let us remember the cost. Let us lift up the grieving and care for the families who remain and pray for God's will for the day when the lion lies down with the lamb and war shall be no more. For that day, Lord, we do pray. And for the prayer concerns of this church and the families here, we do lift them up in a time of silent prayer before you now. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Now please be seated. I invite the children to come down front for the children's message with Lisa Smith.
Come on, guys. Come on. We're waiting. Come on. Waiting. Hey, guys. I'm just standing here waiting for the rain to start. Yep. Oh, but the weatherman said there was 100% chance of rain today, so I'm just waiting. Yep. Oh, but I'm prepared. I've got my umbrella. I've got my raincoat and I've got my yellow galoshes with the cute little dogs on them. So, yep, I'm waiting. I'm waiting, you know, 100% chance and everything. But I'm prepared. But I'm waiting because the weatherman, but it's going to, and I have to be ready. So, but you know what I'm thinking? You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking that there is a whole lot of stuff I should be doing to be prepared for this 100% chance of rain that's going to come because the weatherman said so. I'm thinking I need to roll up my car windows. I need to bring the laundry in from the line. I need to bring the pets in, you know, because they don't like to get wet. And, oh, I need to cover the grill. Yep. There's a lot of stuff I should be doing while I'm waiting for this 100% chance of rain and everything. Do you guys think I should just... Well, you know what? It's awful cloudy outside. I wouldn't be so sure of that. Do you guys think I should just stand here and wait around all day long and wait for the rain to start? How many of you think I should... Oh, okay, watch out. I'm bringing the umbrella down. I don't have enough hands. Well, you have to suspend your disbelief and pretend we're outside for this. He said, okay, he would. I don't think I should stand around and wait either. And you know what? There was a time after the crucifixion, and someone just read about this in the scripture, and I'm trying to make a little connection here. There was a time right after the crucifixion when Jesus would come back to visit some of his disciples and some other folks and sort of tell them what was going on and what to do. Well, you can imagine they had all kinds of questions about what they should be doing. But Jesus told them God would reveal his plan in his own time. And it was really important to prepare for Jesus to come back, but that they should be preaching the gospel and busying themselves, setting a good example and doing all of the great things that Jesus had told them while he was here. So, you know, just like the weatherman said there was a 100% chance of rain today, and I think there actually really is a 100% chance of rain today, it's very important that we remember that there's a 100% surety that Jesus is going to return again one day. But guess what? We don't know what day or when that time is going to be. So instead of just standing around staring up at the heavens for that great day to come, we need to be busying ourselves right here, setting good examples, doing God's will every day of our lives. Okay? So let's have a prayer. Dear God, thank you for your promise that you will return one day. Help us to remember to do your will each day. Amen. And remember, there is a 100% chance of rain today, so you better get your gear ready.
Now let us pass the peace.
Thank you.
Our gospel reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, beginning with verse 44. And then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it was written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now this is a sort of a funny story if you read it in Acts. It's more fleshed out in Acts. It's funny to imagine there in Acts, which you heard just a few moments ago, the disciples staring up into the sky where Jesus was, where he had been, just standing there, afraid to take their eyes off of the spot where they last saw him, and saying to each other, "Did you see that?" "Yes, I saw that." And I guess, according to their own experience and ours too, what goes up must come down. And they were waiting. And then suddenly at their side there appeared two angels, and they were saying, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking up into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come again in the same way you saw him go. And still, we wait." Looking up, but in the meantime, looking out to all the things that need to be done in the world as we continue Jesus' ministry. But we don't continue it alone. We continue it with the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the Sunday closest to Ascension Day. But we in the Methodist Church really don't make much of a big deal out of it. We should. Theologically, it is one of the big three. There's Christmas, a Savior is born. There is Easter, a Savior overcomes death. And Ascension Day, a risen Savior goes to prepare a place for us. And you will remember during the Apostles' Creed, or during the version of the Apostles' Creed that we do in baptism, we speak of the Ascension every single week. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. It occurs to me, when this Sunday is over, at the end of the day, I will have preached three funerals in the past 4 days. And at each one of them, I used, at the family's request, John 14. Where Jesus explains to his disciples and to us before ascending that when Jesus ascends, the Holy Spirit will descend in a special and more accessible way to empower believers. That's us. John 14, verse 16 reads, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." He dwells with you, Jesus said to his disciples, and will be in you. And so in John 20, we speak also about him ascending to the Father. And in Hebrews 8 and Romans 8 as well, he ascends to serve as the great high priest
intervening on our behalf, praying for us. And we'll speak next week about the fact that, you know, what a comfort it would be to think that Jesus is in the next room praying for us. Well, next week, I think we'll find out that Scripture says Jesus is always praying for us. And then here, he ascended to make preparations in John 14 for our heavenly journey and destination. That is the great theme that is very often brought up at funerals. But more than that, it states that there is a place prepared for us, some sort of space prepared for us, a room or a mansion in some translations, but a place. It is an important day in the church, and Scripture points to its supremacy. Following Acts, the ascension happens 40 days after Easter. Now, officially, as I think I noted, that was last Thursday. And, you know, just as an aside, I didn't receive a single ascension card. You know, Hallmark doesn't miss too many holidays, but I think they missed this one. I didn't get a single ascension card from anybody, friend, family, or church. There aren't any. And the traditional ascension gifts, there aren't any. And I started thinking, ascension songs, and all I could think of, as I pictured the disciples looking up until the angel said, you know, what are you doing, looking up? All I could think of was that great big hit from the fifth dimension in 1967, Up, Up, and Away. And that is not in our hymnal. It's okay to laugh. The disciples didn't fully understand what was going on. It was a confusing moment. I think we're meant to sort of snicker at their misunderstanding. But most Christians, if you ask them what happened after Easter, would not even remember that the Scripture says he stayed around explaining the Scripture and teaching the apostles and presenting proofs that he was who he said he was, and he had been dead and now he was alive, that he did this for 40 days. Most people don't even notice that. It's there in Acts. It took 40 days to convince and to make them understand what they needed to do down here. And when he was finished, up he went. He ascended into heaven, as we say in the Creed. And there are folks, and there are even preachers, who act a little bit embarrassed about this article in the Creed. They sort of explain it away and say, maybe he walked into the fog. Or maybe it's meant to be taken symbolically. And just as an aside, I want to address this. Personally, I do not understand believing in his birth, believing in his life and miracles and teaching, believing in his resurrection, but choking on the ascension. It seems to me the story isn't finished until he goes to prepare a place for you and me. And if he goes in an extraordinary manner, he had an extraordinary life, that's okay. Along these lines, my old faculty advisor, now Bishop Will Willimon, he summed up this kind of thinking like this. He said, and he's just kind of strong language, but he said, pagans criticized the Christian faith as being simplistic and pre-scientific and superstitious, and then they rush to the strange consolations of astrology, transcendental meditation, parapsychology, esoteric cults, or happy-hearted humanism. Imagine looking down on articles of faith and religion, and then looking up to fortune cookie psychics. The irony. The true work, changing gears, the true work of every life of faith is a journey back to God. And the path matters. Where will you be when you get where you are going? Is life only a random, pointless search, only a journey with no real arrival, no real destination? I don't think so. And I believe the very event of the ascension points to destination as somewhere above the reality that we experience here. Whether we understand it or not, or whether we believe it or not, Scripture says a journey to God is up, another dimension beyond this one, a narrow path also, a way after God which requires a comforter or a counselor or a guide or an encourager, God's Spirit, along beside us. The disciples, remember, were told not to do anything until they received the presence with and in themselves of the Holy Spirit. Time after time, I have spoken to people who truly are, I believe, working out their faith and truly have a heart of compassion for others. And each one has said in different words that faith, when you take it seriously, does not get any easier as life goes on. The life of faith is, as we experience it, an uphill and a narrow path. And the need for God's guidance and comfort increases as we travel on. We cannot do this faith alone. There is a cartoonist named Ashley Brilliant, and she has a cartoon called Pot Shots. And one that I saw is called Pot Shot number 2240. She just numbers them. It shows two people with walking sticks in hand, and they are ascending a mountain in knee-deep snow. And the caption reads, "Keep climbing upwards. You may never reach the top, but it is definitely in that direction." At times, I have felt that the faithful life is defined by the path of most resistance. And I've had people argue with me about this, but you know, when there are difficult decisions to make, it mostly boils down to which one cost me more, and that's usually the more faithful choice. Have you ever noticed the faithful choices in life are the ones that lead you into the wind and up the hill and against the current? The journey of faith is a journey up. On the other hand, it is always easier in the short term to yield to each and every temptation. But where does that get you? It is easier to break your vows and promises you've made to the church, to your spouse, or to others you've made agreements with. It is easier to live an undisciplined life, not exercising, not following the doctor's orders, or not following, almost confused doctors with God's, but some of you know some doctors, anyway. Not paying attention to your diet, or not paying attention to your blood sugar, or to your blood pressure, or to your cholesterol. You can live easier that way, but where does it end? It is easier to let your children do whatever they want and pay no attention to their friends or activities or grades or problems. But where does that end? It's easier to sleep in Sundays and pretend your soul is just fine. Needs no growth, no challenge, no comfort, no fellowship, no time set aside for God. Where does that end? Ours is an upward faith, an uplifting religion. For believers, the only way is up. And that's what it all comes up to. There are a whole bunch of people right now who are being cast onto new unknown paths by the economy, as we noted in our prayer time. We have at least five I know of in this church. And I'm trying to figure out a way, and I want you to, you know, give me some feedback on this, a way for our church to help. And it's not wrong for us to use church contacts to help find employment. That's a good thing. And I invite any input at all that you have along those lines. I just wanted to say that again in the middle of the sermon. There are paths that we are on spiritually, but other times a crisis sort of encourages us to put our spiritual growth aside because we have to do things to pay the bills. So it all works together. Life is not one or the other. It is all at once. We have a restlessness. I think we have a restlessness that is meant to disappoint us in the things of this world. And the time that we're living through right now has taught us that we can't depend on the things of this world to stay steady and always the same and dependable because everything's in flux. And I believe this holy restlessness and this knowledge that we can't trust things of this world is meant to disappoint us until we realize that our only true and real destination is up and back to God. The only true person worthy of absolute and total trust is up above us all, God in Christ. It does not appear to be abnormal to be unsatisfied here. I think we were made to be unsatisfied with life until we aim our life up to God. Too many folks spend their lives rowing out and casting in and standing in and casting out and looking for the proper place and person. But Jesus' ascension reminds us our true destination is up and Godward. Not this way or that way, but Godward. There is another reality beyond this one. The ascension teaches us that, if nothing else. And we may never get there in this life, but it is definitely in that direction. And the holy restlessness in our souls helps guide us beyond the shiny, sparkly things to a higher and holier place than we have ever known. But still we know it is there, just beyond our grasp. Higher than we can reach and further out than we can cast, more holy than we can know, but up there past all that lies down here, Jesus prepares a place for us to go. And we have glimpses of it in worship, glimpses of it in prayer, and glimpses of it in service to others in Jesus' name. This is an important truth that I cannot prove, but I know it as sure as gravity. There are forces which would keep me and you earthbound and down. But God is determined to lift us up to be with Him. Up is my home. Here, there is something missing. Final illustration. A man and his little girl in the springtime winds were flying a big, fancy, colorful kite, and they had a tremendous spool of string, and they had it way up there in a cloud where you couldn't even see it anymore. And a man walked by, a stranger, just joking with the little girl, and said, "How do you know for sure that it's still up there?" And the girl answered, "I know it's still there because I can feel it tugging on the string." The world cannot see Him. But we know that God is tugging on our heartstrings, and when we confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior, we feel the tug of His love inside, and we feel directed through this life toward Him. We feel directed out to others to share what we have in Him. The Spirit is our connection. The Holy Spirit is our comforter and guide. The way is up. Amen. Please stand. Receive this blessing.
blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, your Savior, and the comfort, the guidance, and the courage, the power which is given you through God the Holy Spirit. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.